From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan, welcome into the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. If you miss any episodes, be sure to check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast tab on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the show, we've been talking, we got kind of pulled on a tangent here, but it's a fascinating one in my eyes, too, about the golf equipment and the stuff that the pros use and all that stuff. And you were bringing up the point about the kickstand bags as well during the break to me, and how Oklahoma State sort of revolutionized that.
They really did. You know, in the mid to late 80s, you know, Sun Mountain came out with a bag, and then so did Ping. And up until this point, there was a popular bag that all of us as collegiate players, junior players, all used, and it was called a Jones bag. And it didn't have any kickstand or feet to lay, you know, when you put your bag down, you literally laid it on the ground. But, you know, the bag was made of a kind of a pleather vinyl, if you will, so the water wouldn't get in and make your grips wet and all that good stuff. Ping got smart. Ping decided to develop a built-in leg that formed a tripod, if you will, and went not to the pros. They went to Oklahoma State. And I remember when that first bag came out, and it was kind of a badge of courage or honor that you didn't use one of those bags. And it was like you almost were laughed at if you had that bag until Oklahoma State went out and won an NCAA championship. And that changed the landscape of golf bags across the collegiate level, the high school level, and the junior level to this day. We all give it to or attribute it to Ping in Oklahoma State.
You know, it's that grassroots sort of efforts that kind of make these guys use some of these products for life. And I kind of liken it to what you see on the AAU circuit with basketball shoes.
Exactly.
Right? And these guys, some of them, and before the advent of NIL, like, these guys were getting paid under the table big bucks by the likes of Nike and Adidas. And part of the deal was, hey, you go pro, you're going to use our shoe. You're going to wear Adidas. You're going to wear Nikes when you get to the next level. Or maybe that wasn't part of the deal, but you always knew in your mind, hey, they were here supporting me early on in my careers. And it's sort of the same thing where these guys, some of them stick with Ping because that's what they used in college. If they like guys like Victor Hovland and all that. Like, you use something in college at Oklahoma State, you're probably going to use it in the pros, at least for the first couple of years or while you're making your rise up to get your tour card.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm intrigued by how players look at their equipment and think about their equipment. And golf bags are no different. And, in fact, when we're at Augusta, you're thinking about golf bags. TaylorMade uses this as their way to unveil some of the most creatively made golf bags that these guys will use just for this week. The liner in the pockets all has peaches in it. You know, on the bottom of the bag, you very softly, you can see the yardage of every single hole is sort of burned into the leather. They do some pretty creative things, and it's going to be fun to see what they do there. But to your point, you become very brand loyal if you grow up with a particular brand, but if it's brought and forced on you in the college level, you know, you tend to stick with what got you the success. Yeah. And generally that success before turning pro happens in college. And I also think this is a strong reason why, if you look at a lot of the tour guys' bags, they have their college emblem or their nickname all put on there because that's what they remember, and that's what got them here. And generally speaking, most of those guys have the exact same brand in that bag. Now, it may not have the stands because they have caddies, but that's the impact that the brand loyalty brings about to a lot of these players as they bring their game to the professional level, for sure.
All right, Mike, I don't know if you're ready for this. I don't know if you're ready, but Eddie on the north side, clocking in on a weekend. Eddie, did you get lost? What are you doing here? Welcome.
No, I just love the game of golf. I used to be a really good golfer when I was younger before I had my kids. You know, and you have time, mm-hmm. because when you have kids, it's hard to have time. Both my girls played high school golf, and I loved watching them in competition and everything. Big question I had, I always wondered, are the pros playing with the exact balls that we play with? That's a big thing. And my favorite club from way back when, and I wish they would come out with another one, and I love TaylorMade, their bubble shaft, the driver, the 3-wood, the 5-wood they had on there. I just love them clubs. They were just, every time I can hit them, great. I didn't even worry about getting on the green when I was, way back when I was younger. I wanted to get close to the cup. That's what I wanted to get. So that's the question I had is about the ball thing. You know, and when I went to, like, championship, you know, as a seer and a viewer, and everybody would rush to these balls that these pros hit so they wouldn't lose it. I was always like, well, maybe they're keeping secrets and everything. Let's get one of these balls and cut it open and see what's exactly in them. But that's my question.
Well, as far as your question, mm-hmm. if you took one of their golf balls and cut it open, just like Eddie is asking, mm-hmm. you're going to find the exact same golf ball that you would find if you
went now.
For now, that if you walked into Ron Cassidy's Pro Shop at Glenview Park mm-hmm. and cut up that ball, that's going to be the exact same ball that they're playing. And that's the beauty of how golf is right now. But if the USGA gets their way, if we in fact roll the golf ball back, Eddie, you will now be playing a different golf ball than the pros are actually playing. Yeah. So,
and honestly, you'll be playing a better golf ball.
Yeah, you'll be playing the better ball. You'll be playing. Actually, Eddie, this will be the one time that Jordan Spieth's going to be looking up to Eddie in Northside. I wish I could play Eddie's ball.
Hey, and there's one thing about golf is once you got it and get it, and you guys know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, bend your knees, lock them in, like there's pins in them and everything. You know, your left arm straight, a nice left hand strong grip. And I used to try to teach these girls, and they'd get it for like 2 or 3 holes, and then they'd revert back to what they were doing. You know what I mean? And you just work with them all the time and just try to get it. But I could, like last year, I maybe golfed 3 or 4 times the most. But I'll go to the range one time, and I'll get on the golf course, and I could do low 80s all the time. You know, before, I mean, I used to break par sometimes way back when. But once you get it, you know it in your head, and it feels so – it's such a great game because, you know, it's you. You know what I mean? And it's just an awesome game. That's all I got to say. Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
Eddie, do you have any thoughts on Ohio State golfers? Any Ohio State golfer thoughts?
I don't. My girls played at Taft 4 years apiece, and I loved it. You know, they got into it. And I encourage, like, you know, guys like us, everything. You got girls, they get into high school, put them on the golf team. They will love it after a while, you know. Hey, free driving ranges. They go to the nice golf courses all the time, and, you know.
So no Ohio State golfers will win majors, huh?
I don't know. Have they ever?
Jack Nicklaus won a few.
CJ Stroud, because I know the next quarterback that comes to Ohio State, he's going to be the number one or second draft pick. But you know what? These guys in the morning that they go back and forth about these quarterbacks going in here. The only way I would look at it is if you took Will Levis, if you took the guy from Florida and you put them in the situation and you threw them on Ohio State or Alabama, would they perform the same way as these quarterbacks would, and vice versa if you threw these guys? I mean, Patrick Mahomes, imagine him on Ohio State.
All right,
you know,
Eddie.
What I mean?
Hang on the line, Eddie. We're going to get you a Masters Journal, all right?
Have a great weekend.
You as well. That's Eddie on the north side. Clocking in on a weekend. You hear him across the week, whether it's on Cap and Jay Hood or Carmen and Yurko or Waddle and Sylvie, Bleck and Abdallah, but clocking in on a weekend on the CDGA Golf Show. How about that?
That's just great radio right there, I'm going to tell you. Eddie, thanks for calling in. But Eddie brought up a point. Muscle memory. He was talking about the girls. You know, they do it for a couple of holes. I mean, how many times are we literally working with our teacher? We execute it 2-3 times. The teacher walks away, and then all of a sudden, like, where did it just go? Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing this right. But the golf swing, for sure, is one of the most unnatural athletic motions that's not innate to us. Running, jumping, skipping, throwing is all pretty innate to us as a human.
Yeah.
But the golf swing is totally different. our minds tell us we're stronger from the chest up in our arms, when in reality, it's generating everything from the ground going up on the downswing. And that's where we all battle, coming over the top and hitting that big old banana ball.
Right. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation, we're going to talk with James Colgan from golf.com coming up next. He's got some great live ratings and thoughts on all that stuff, how live and golf and can coexist too. But we'll pick his brain on that. Also, the Masters coming up as well, and he will be down at Augusta. So looking forward to chatting with James in just a little bit. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. James Colgan coming up next here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. You want to jump on into the show? 312-332-3776. Tyler Ocke and Mike Gilgan with you every single Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. That's where we find James Colgan, writer over at golf.com. Does some fantastic work there. And puts out a bunch of media stuff, which I'm really curious to get some of his thoughts for some of the things that we've got coming up this week and beyond as well. But James, thanks so much for joining us, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Tyler. All I can say right now is I'm a little upset that you didn't call me on the show to talk about Jim Boeheim's departure, but I'll get over it. I appreciate the invite.
And, we will do that tomorrow on Basketball U. How about that? We'll talk a little college.
I'm not sure I'm qualified to talk about that, but I would be happy to step up.
That's what happens when you get a couple of orange men here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim Boeheim, a lot of time to golf now, too.
Plenty of time for golf.
And he's not playing the nice course at Drumlins, is he?
That's, you know, I think he's at a slightly more upscale club. Hard to tell.
Well, James, appreciate you hopping on with us here today. You know, you've been at the forefront of all the live ratings and kind of breaking it down and like explaining it to people like they're 5 years old. Because I think when you're talking about television ratings, that's something that you need to do sometimes. But what can you tell us about the latest batch of live ratings that we just saw?
All right. So I will do my best to explain this at a kindergarten level, but I should qualify this by saying it is inherently complicated, and my best efforts to make it uncomplicated have still resulted in a little bit of confusion. So I'll do my best to kind of cut through this. Basically, yesterday we got ratings, which were reported by LIV from the second event of the season in Tucson, which was last weekend's tournament. And the ratings, truthfully, for LIV were not very good. They were down 24% over their first broadcast of the year in Mayakoba, which was just about a month ago. Generally speaking, were being outrated by the PGA Tour's Valspar Championship, which is, you know, we know is not exactly a premier level PGA Tour event. The Tour outrated LIV last week, like almost by five times. So it was a sort of blowout win for the Tour. I guess some of this is to be expected, of course, because LIV is just starting its first broadcast, you know, on the CW. It's just kind of getting its foothold in the golf world. But all of that said, you know, LIV's stakeholders have spent billions with a B building this league and building this roster. And I think they expected to have maybe a slightly bigger foothold in the rating sense than they have currently. And particularly to see the ratings drop so precipitously from week one to week two. That's not not a tremendous sign for them.
So, James, you know, you bring up a good point about how Liv and the, you know, the ratings have dropped. But do you think this would be different if the acceptance of Liv was a little bit more palatable, if Greg Norman handled things differently, if Phil Mickelson didn't say what he said? And let's just say there was some working relationship of some sort between the PGA Tour and Liv. Do you think the, you know, the CW or WGN would be more apt to promote the fact that they're on their stations? Because honestly, I haven't seen any promotion on any of those networks that this event is even being televised.
Yeah. So, I mean, first to answer your question, you know, it's hard to know, but I think yes. I mean, I think if Liv, generally speaking, is divisive. There's no way around that. And I think a lot of people are turned off by that, particularly in this climate. I don't think a lot of people want to be engaging with that sort of stuff. And that's sort of a bed that Liv has made for itself. It's not something, you know, there are some parts of the business model, particularly their funding from the Saudi Public Investment Fund, that are inherently going to be controversial. But then there are ways that they've gone about sort of building their league and building their following that have sort of invited controversy. And that, I think, is partially to do for the fact that we've seen ratings be so lackluster. I don't think that Liv has done a great job of giving golf fans a really good reason to tune in every week. And that is absolutely, you know, part of the issue. I think there's then a separate part of the issue as well that just has to do with the agreement that Liv signed with the CW. You mentioned it's on WGN in Chicago, and that has something to do with the controversy surrounding the league too. Some 23% of the TV markets in the U.S. Don't have Liv on the CW. So Liv, you know, if they're pushing out a national advertising campaign, they can't advertise on the CW, because in 23% of the markets in the U.S., Liv is on a different channel. It's on a different network.
Big markets too.
So that would just further confuse people. So yeah, it's a real web of thorns to figure out and get to the bottom of why things have been the way that they are. It's also hard to totally judge apples to apples between the PGA Tour and Liv, because they use two different companies to collect their audience data. So we don't know that we're getting exactly the same data from the two parties in this. So all of it leads to a whole lot of confusion, but I think the end result so far has been there's a lot of confusion around Liv's product. There's a lot of confusion around how to reach it. And Liv is seeing those struggles in their ratings.
James Colgan from golf.com joining us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. So James, is there a magic number that they want to reach in terms of viewership? Is it a number that's finite? Is it, we want to be this close to the PGA Tour? What does Greg Norman and company really want to get out of this?
So I've spent a good amount of time talking with Will Steger, who's the chief media officer over at Liv. And he's been very keen to avoid putting a number on what is successful for Liv. I know for a fact that there are internal metrics that they are relying on to sort of chart their growth, but they are not eager to share those numbers publicly. And no one that I've spoken to on either side of the ledger has really given me a sense of what successful looks like. And that also is part of why this is so difficult to know, you know, qualitatively, whether the ratings were good or bad. It's just hard to know. But all of that being said, I think it's pretty clear from having listened to Liv since the second that they started this league that their primary goal is to challenge and ultimately supersede the PGA Tour. Right now, the PGA Tour is getting 4 to 5 times the audience size for broadcast. So I would think the first step for Liv is showing that they can chart growth in their audience week over week and over the course of the season. But the second step, and far more important to their long-term longevity and success, is their ability to kind of close the gap with the PGA Tour. So right now, Liv is about 400,000 to 500,000 average viewers for broadcast. And the PGA Tour is at close to 2.5 million. So that's the gap that LIV has to bridge right now. But I don't think we have a specific number that we can say, all right, if LIV gets a million average viewers, you know, five events down the line, that's suddenly successful. There's so much context to all of this that, you know, it's difficult to say in black and white terms what success looks like, other than to say they're chasing the PGA Tour.
So, James, if LIV execs are listening to the show and listening to you, and they decide, James Colgan Consulting Enterprises, what do we do? What do we do to get there? I mean, what do we do next? I mean, we've invested billions. What do we do?
I think, that is a loaded question right there. There is a lot that can be done. I think the first and kind of most important thing is that LIV needs to stop reveling in controversy. I think something, you know, that we spoke about just a few minutes ago is how controversy has followed LIV. Part of the reason for this is because it seems as though their players and their executives and their employees all sort of welcome controversy coming into, you know, their league, coming into their life on a regular basis. And I don't think that that's ultimately a positive thing. I think LIV has plenty of name brand recognition among sports fans. I think most serious sports fans know what LIV is and they know who LIV is. The problem is most serious sports fans don't care enough to tune in. And that's the problem that LIV needs to fix right now. It's not a matter of just acknowledgement. It's a matter of giving golf fans a reason to tune in every week. So far, we haven't seen a playing product that has led to a huge amount of palace intrigue among golf fans. We haven't seen the players that LIV is spending $1 billion on this year do much of anything. It's been a lot of the guys towards the bottom of the field that have been winning events and have been generating the headlines. So, yeah, I think what LIV needs more than anything is to have a great golf product to be successful right now. And I don't think we've seen that so far.
James Colgan with us on the Jersey Mike's hotline from golf.com. So, James, is the television ratings maybe showing LIV a little bit of its own mortality?
It certainly could be. The difficult thing to know is, you know, what LIV's investors, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, it's difficult to know what their willingness to spend money is. Last year, when LIV burst onto the scene, there was this perception that LIV had limitless money, that they could spend as much as they wanted forever and never hit the bottom of it. Obviously, we know now that that's not true. But what we don't know is what the you know, Saudi names and faces behind this league, what their appetite is for an unsuccessful league 2, 3, 4 years down the line. We just don't know. And this is kind of the central catch-all to LIV as in its existence is tomorrow the leaders of the PIF could say, that's it, we're pulling our money out, and LIV would be done. There would be no continuation of the league. But they could also say, we're doing this for 5 years, and LIV would exist for 5 years because they'd have the money to do it. So I think what we're looking at is, in terms of LIV's golfing authenticity and LIV's golfing legitimacy, I think this should be a pressure time for the people working in that main league office to figure out how to make this product as entertaining as it can be. Because, you know, what we've seen is that there's some audience that's willing to go there, but we have not seen regular golf fans who are willing to tune in on a weekly basis like they are for the PGA Tour. And so I think as you're looking at LIV in the span of its greater possibility of continuing to exist for, you know, for however long into the future, I think that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a conversation about how they can make this palatable to golf fans. And I think the TV ratings have shown that they're not reaching as far as they need to be.
One thing that LIV, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, has done well is made the PGA Tour now better. But one of the other byproducts of where we stand right now in the golf ecosystem is that with the PGA Tour banning everybody, the field strength is a little bit different. But now we're about to arrive to our first major of the year, and the first time that all the LIV guys are going to be able to play in 2023 together. I think the majors, the strength of fields, have all just shot up and have separated themselves from all the rest in a big, big way. What's your take on that?
Yeah, Mike, I think that's a really, really valid point. I think what we've seen in golf right now over the last 6 months, particularly with all of the changes on the PGA Tour, is this stratification between the haves and the have-nots of the golf world. We see it even very specifically now in the PGA Tour between designated and non-designated events. There is now an elite stretch of events on the PGA Tour schedule, and there is a stretch of events on the PGA Tour schedule, including the fall season, that the tour has deemed just simply less important. I think when you look at the majors, that's the next stratification of that. That is the creme de la creme of the golf world right now will be the events where we see both LIV's best players and the PGA Tour's best players in the same place. So I think I completely agree with you on both points. I think LIV has absolutely made the PGA Tour product better. It's made the PGA Tour's entertainment better, but it's also made the majors better, and it's made the majors stronger. And I think that's kind of a funny thing to say because the majors have always been the strongest entity in golf. But I think what we've seen now is that their life force is several orders of magnitude larger than it ever was before all of this. So, yeah, next week or 2 weeks from now in Augusta is going to be – I'm very much looking forward to getting down there. I'm looking forward to speaking to the folks on both sides of the ledger and kind of seeing how that story progresses throughout the week, because there's going to be a ton of intrigue around this, and more than I think we've seen at any point in the recent future.
James, before we let you go here, you're heading down to Augusta. What is the most intriguing storyline that you're tracking on your way down there?
The honest answer to this, Tyler, is the mysterious disappearance of the Georgia Peach ice cream sandwich. I have been on this like white on rice over the last 12 months. When I arrived in Augusta last year, I noticed its disappearance. I've been hearing, sort of vague rumors about whether or not it would be returning in the new year. So far from my conversations, I've not been able to confirm that we will be seeing the Georgia Peach ice cream sandwich. It does seem like we're going to see some sort of ice cream re-addition to the menu. So, yeah, I will be keeping the golf world completely posted on these incredibly important matters of the food at Augusta National. But it is a storyline I'm looking forward to paying attention to, because as anyone who's been to the Masters can tell you, eating a Georgia Peach ice cream sandwich while sitting next to the 12th tee at Augusta National is about as close to heaven as exists in the mortal world.
Nobody more qualified to eat their way through a golf course than James Colgan. He does it better than anybody else, and you can find him on Twitter at JamesColgan26. James, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
That's James Colgan. Thanks, James. From golf.com. He joined us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Speaking of the Masters, let's give away a taste of the Masters prize pack when we come back. How about that, Mike? We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. This segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
We will give away a taste of the Masters coming up in just a little bit. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Let's quickly get to Bob. He's in Libertyville. What's up, Bob?
Hi. The PGA has two things that LIV doesn't have, and that's why they'll always be dominant. First, they have the golf courses. You're totally missing the star of the whole show.
Yep.
The star of the show are the golf courses. I don't really care about Rich Harvest Farm. I've never seen it, and I'll never play it. But Riviera, I've seen it every year. I want to see how these guys play the course. And that's why people watch. Most people don't even know the names of these golfers, and they want to see them. And that's the other thing that the PGA has, is it has rookies. It has young guys. I want to see somebody who I can go out and play golf with compared to these young guys on the tour. And so that's why the PGA will always be dominant.
No, I think it's a great point, Bob, and I appreciate the phone call there. Like, he's right. If you're a rookie or a young golfer, an up-and-coming guy, and maybe not on the Cam Smith level because he has won a major before, but for all of these younger guys, you'll never make a name for yourself on the PGA Tour. Or on the, not the PGA, not, on the LIV Tour. Yeah, you'll never make a name for yourself there.
No, you won't. And, he brings up a great point about the golf courses. I mean, just as fans, all you got to do is tune in for a few minutes at Bay Hill, and you'll go, oh, yeah, I remember what this back nine looks like now.
Yeah.
Because I've only watched it, 20 years in a row now. And so his point is very valid, and it's most valid when we go down to Augusta.
Right.
LIV just, you can't create that. In fact, I'd also look at some of the golf courses that LIV is going to right now. And, would the PGA Tour really go to a place like that? I think LIV has to accept what they can get, and instead of where the PGA Tour can come in and demand what they want, right? So it's two different schools of thought, but the canvas to which these guys play on means a ton.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, Mike, it's time to give away a taste of the Masters. I always get a little hungrier during this segment.
I do too.
This is a hosting kit that serves 12 to 14 guests. You will get 24 ounces of egg salad, 24 ounces of pimento cheese, 24 ounces of pork barbecue, 6 bags of plain potato chips, 6 bags of barbecue potato chips, and 12 cookies. You'll also get a sleeve of 25 Masters branded souvenir cups, Masters branded wax paper, sleeve of 12 sheets there, 12 Masters coasters, and other hosting kit materials as well. There is no bread, there is no buns.
Mm-mm.
It's BYOB, bring your own bread. But be right now the first caller that can correctly answer this question that Mike has picked out for us today.
So, Tyler, like you said, we get hungry once we hear the contents of this prize.
My stomach literally flared up.
It did, as we look at Chick-fil-A across the street here. But food, we're about almost, we're getting close to the, champions dinner, where there's going to be a great menu that Scotty Scheffler is going to unveil. The question for today: who started the past champions dinner tradition? If you can tell me which golf professional started it, and if you can give me the year will earn you a Masters journal. The right answer is going to get you the concession Masters package.
All right, so 312-332-3776. Which professional golfer started the tradition of the Masters dinner, the champions dinner, and laying out the menus? We saw Scottie Scheffler. I mean, talk about the people's menu for Scottie Scheffler, right? He had, it just felt like you could go to any restaurant and get what Scottie was getting. And that's what makes Scottie. It makes it so great. He had the cheeseburger sliders served Scottie style, some firecracker shrimp, the tortilla soup, then for the main course, Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish, then a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie to cap it all off with some milk and cookies ice cream as well.
You had me at sliders.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Scotty's my guy. That's why I'm rooting for him to win, just because he likes sliders.
And people love Scotty Scheffler. Like, he's made a name for himself now.
He really has.
And last year's Masters was sort of the start of it, but you're seeing the rise now of Scottie Scheffler, and it's great to see. But yes, if you can tell us who started the tradition of the Masters Champions Dinner, you will walk away with a taste of the Masters hosting kit. And 312-332-3776, I think we've got our winner. Brian is in Arlington Heights. Brian, who started this tradition?
It was Ben Hogan.
That is correct. Hang on the line.
Nicely done. Do you know the year?
I do not know the year.
Okay, give me a guess, because that's worth a master's journal.
I only know it because I was talking about it with my father-in-law, and we were trying looking over the menu.
That's all right.
To figure out, so I don't even have a guess for the year.
1952. Ben Hogan started this amazing tradition, and it's something that I know of talking to past champions. They absolutely treasure this special evening.
Brian, congratulations. Let's get you on hold, and we will get you a taste of the Masters hosting kit, all right?
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks. We'll get your information. Hang on the line there. 312-332-3776. You want to talk anything in the world of golf? We're going to go around the CDGA coming up next. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan. This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Thank you to Kendra Smith for producing today's show. Also, thank you to James Colgan from golf.com for joining us here. If you missed anything from today, be sure to check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can also find all of our past episodes there as well on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on in before we get on out of here. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. But Mike, what is going on around the CDGA this week and beyond?
Well, you know, just as we talked about when we started the show, we are literally a week away where people can start reporting their scores and establishing their 2023 index. So literally the next time we are together, we are into the 2023 golf season. USGA announced some significant modifications to their qualifying model as it pertains to the U.S. amateur. And why is that important to the CDGA? Well, first and foremost, it's going to be a two-stage format, just like the U.S. Open, where you have to go through a local, and then you got to go more through a regional-type qualifying to get to that major. So, yeah, there's a little bit of angst on social media of amateurs saying, now you're making it even more difficult for me to get there and to play. Well, that is a sheer sign that America is full of amazing, amazing players. But why is that important to us? Well, part of the announcement is that the Illinois State Amateur Champion, beginning in 2024, will now earn an automatic exemption into the United States Amateur. And we think that is just amazing news for us. We have been told by the USGA that we boast one of the most strongest strengths of field, or quality of field, if you will, in amateur golf. We're always in the top 10, flirting around with the top 5. And that's something to be said when you consider Florida, Texas, right, California. Mm-hmm. But Illinois is made up of a ton of brilliant, talented amateur golfers. So we are so very excited at the CDGA about that news this week. May 20th. I will be talking to you from our golf marathon, and we are still looking for a couple of more people who can help us raise some money for a good cause, but more importantly, have a crack at winning $1 million. So myself, Billy Whitney from Best Hole in One, will be parked at the third hole while we're raising money. The first time each player comes through, they're making a swing for $1 million.
Wow.
So that's going to be a lot of fun on May the 20th. Member perk of the week. Actually, there's two of them. On a day like today, CDGA members, use your member perk. Get to X Golf. Play some simulation golf indoors and enjoy 10% off your rental today. And then afterwards, shoot on over to Jersey Mike's and you get $2 off. And that's just because you're a CDGA member. So I think you always say,
pays for itself.
It pays for itself. Very good. And then lastly, in our CDGA member golf shop, can you beat this? Early season deal. Srixon, the diamond ball. The same one that Hideki Matsuyama plays. You can get for under $40 delivered. If you're a CDGA member, go to our CDGA member golf shop, order them up, and they'll be delivered to your house right in time for April 1st.
And we are right around the corner. And also, that means we are very close to the fantasy golf getting set to start back with the Masters right around the corner.
We will. And
week and a half. Yep. I guess next week we have to make our lineups.
We're
going
to have to make our picks. Mm-hmm. Yep. And CDGA members are going to get a taste of trying out the new software, which is going to be scoring the event in real time. So you'll be able to watch the Masters and watch how your team is faring against all other CDGA members. And then if you set up your little pool of family members, likes, friends, you can then watch your own event within the event. So we listen to a lot of our members and feedback, and proud to say that we have responded.
Looking forward to that. And great prizes as well always come along with that. So looking forward to all of that stuff. I remember it was the PGA Championship last year when Casey, he just needed Vito Pereira to not hook it.
Yep.
And he was so close. Casey Richards, who does a great job with the CDGA.
He does. In fact, it was so funny. I told Casey when he came in the next morning, all he had to do is hit 7-iron off the tee and you win fantasy golf.
Yes. But, I mean, good on him to have the foresight to pick a guy like Mito. That's always the best when you find the sleeper who few or no one else has, and they're the ones that bring you. Like, it's one thing to be the guy who takes Justin Thomas, right?
Right.
It's the other thing to be the guy that takes Mito Pereira. And that guy almost brings you to a fantasy golf championship.
And given the new format, you'll actually select a few more players. Mm-hmm. So to your point, the ability to find that next Mito is going to be ever so important in trying to win the overall big game. But it's just a lot of fun. And this is the kind of event, whether, you know, like my wife will play and she picks them based on the country she likes or where they're from or what college
and
they went to.
Sometimes that works better.
And she always beats me.
It's the way it goes sometimes.
So what do I know?
Yep, exactly. All right. Thanks so much for joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Again, if you missed anything, check it out on the podcast, on the ESPN Chicago app, or wherever you get your podcast. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. We will be back next week previewing the Masters, believe it or not, Mike.
Cannot wait
for that. So we are around the corner from Masters season. This segment was brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. We'll talk to you guys next week on the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.